says I'm on. Okay, I know this is Holy Week, and I know that there's a lot going to go on this week, or did. There was a lot that went on this week. I'm going to kind of talk about something just a little bit different. And today we're going to be talking about something every single believer can understand, okay? And that is wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about professional wrestling. I'm not talking about backyard wrestling. I'm not talking about the kind of wrestling where somebody jumps off the back of the couch and calls it a ministry. We're talking about wrestling with sin, okay? Because if we're honest, most of us look pretty calm on the outside, right? But inside our minds, there is a full championship match happening. Now, probably when you came in this morning, you probably smiled at people. You shook hands. But there may have been some of you that were maybe wrestling with a little bit of anxiety. You shook hands with somebody, and you might have been wrestling a little bit with maybe some temptation. Some of us, we may have lifted our hands in worship, and we might have been wrestling about thoughts we didn't want to bring into the church. You see, the truth is, the strongest Christians are not the ones who never wrestle. The ones who never quit wrestling, those are the strongest ones. I want to pray with you this morning. Bow your heads, please. Lord, teach us how to fight the right fight today. Strengthen our minds, Lord God. Guard our hearts and remind us we are not alone in this battle. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so everyone at some point in their life or some place, everyone is in what I like to call a match. And I want you to turn to someone next to you and say, you look peaceful. Tell somebody you look peaceful. But I know you're fighting something. Because everybody is wrestling with something. Everybody, we may be wrestling fear. We may be wrestling anger. We may be wrestling guilt. We may be wrestling with other things. Maybe we're wrestling with some habit that we can't get rid of. Or maybe we're wrestling with some memories that we can't forget. You know, sometimes we may be wrestling with thoughts we wish would just leave us alone. Amen? And I know probably some of you wrestled your alarm clock this morning and it almost won. I know I did. But Romans 7:15, we're going to start there. Romans 7:15, please. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Isn't that so true? I don't understand it. What I do, I don't understand it. I keep doing the same thing. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. You see, that was the Apostle Paul. He said that, which means Paul wrestled. He wrestled with some things. We're going to wrestle. If Paul struggled in his time, don't you think that there's going to be a little bit of a struggle with us? We're going to have some battles. If Paul had some mind battles, if he had some things going on, we're going to have it too. But you see, the main key this morning is Paul didn't quit. Paul didn't quit. And we're not going to either, right? So I want to give you a little bit of history here of what actual wrestling is. Now, see, I was a wrestling coach for years. I know most of you probably think wrestling is just the stuff that you watch on WWE. No, it's not. That's not it. That's not real. And if you like that stuff, that's okay. I mean, it's okay. I used to like it when I was a kid. But I kind of grew out of that. But the interesting part about the real sport of wrestling is it has a huge history. Wrestling is one of the oldest sport ever. It was before football, way before baseball. Sorry, it was way before basketball. People were wrestling. There are actually ancient cave drawings that they found showing people wrestling. Egyptians wrestle, right? We know the Greeks wrestle, and even the Romans wrestled. In fact, you see, wrestling became an Olympic sport in 708 BC. So people have been wrestling for a long time. Now I want to give you a little. I'm going to show you a video of my style of wrestling. Go ahead and start the video, please. You want to turn down the lights for me, Jake? A little more left. That's our style of wrestling. That was my grandson, by the way, who won a state championship this year for Seneca. I had to include that in this message. But the thing is, it's ancient. Wrestling is there in ancient, in the Olympics, there was no limits. They wrestled until someone surrendered. Not like this. It wasn't 3 2-minute periods like these are. They wrestled till somebody was completely wore out, till they surrendered, till And sometimes that meant hours. Sometimes that may mean days. But they never gave up. They wrestled to exhaustion. And sometimes that meant, what that meant was determination. Determination was what decided the winner. Determination. All that time. And that's exactly what sounds like temptation. Because temptation, you see, does not usually leave after 5 minutes. It stays. It pressures. It repeats. It repeats and keeps on. Now, when you're wrestling, Caden is my grandson, and he is Christian. He loves Jesus very much. He loves him very much, goes to church every Sunday. But he practices. He's worked so hard since the time he was 6, 7 years old. That's when he started. He's done these moves, these things, thousands and thousands and thousands of times in order to get where he is today. There were a lot of times he lost. He lost the battle. And there were some years that he never even got the medal, right? Sometimes we're not going to get the medal. But when we wrestle with temptation, it stays, it pressures, it repeats, it whispers, it waits. Amen? Sometimes temptation shows up when you're tired. That's usually when it shows up, right? Or maybe when you're lonely. Sometimes it shows up when you're discouraged. Sometimes it shows up when you may be up too late scrolling on your phone. But that's when temptation comes in. Temptation comes in all of those times and says, all right, round two, here we go. The real match is in your mind. This is where we fight it every day. And I remember you said that last week. We talked about wrestling. You talked about in your mind. And I said, you're going to preach my whole sermon if you keep going. But you see, most sins begin in the mind, right? Most people think sin begins in behavior. It doesn't. It doesn't begin. It begins in thought. James 1, 14 through 15, please. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives what? Gives birth to death. But each person is tempted. Right? Notice the order. I want you to see the order in that. Dragged. Enticed. Conceived. And then what is born? Sin. You see, sin grows before it shows. Sin grows, remember that. Which means the battlefield is actually in your mind. It starts right here between the ears. It's not in your hands first. Believe me, it's not here. It's not in your feet first. It's in your mind first. That's where it all starts. Now, some people may look a little, they may be calm on the outside, and they can hide it. But inside their brain, there's a championship match going on. And they're praying, and they're praying hard. And they're saying, Lord, help me win round three. Now, the enemy attacks through our thoughts. We all know that. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, this is what the Bible says. Take captive thought. Tells you very simple right there. Take and captive your thought. Because not every thought that enters your mind belongs there. Some thoughts are actually visitors. Some thoughts are what we call distraction. Some thoughts, clearly, we all know, are lies. And some thoughts are invitations to wrestle. You're not responsible for every thought that knocks on your door. You can't be responsible because you are responsible. You are responsible for the thoughts you invite to stay. You know Jacob wrestled. Everybody know that? Do they know the story of Jacob? 32:24, please. Genesis. See, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. The man wrestled with him all night long. Jacob wrestled all night long. He didn't wrestle 5 minutes. He didn't wrestle through one prayer. It was all night long. It says right there in the Bible. You see, some breakthroughs, they come quickly, right? We've all had those. When we prayed, we've had those breakthroughs come quickly, but sometimes they come very slowly. And sometimes breakthroughs come after a long night of wrestling. You see, Jacob, he walked away with a limp. But he also walked away with a blessing. Because sometimes God changes the way we walk before he can change our situation. Let me say that again. He changes the way we walk before he can change our situation. We all know that we're talking about temptation. Jesus was tempted. Everybody knows that, right? Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was tempted. He was led to the wilderness. Jesus faced temptation. We will face temptation. But I want you to know this morning, church, temptation is not failure. Temptation is a test. The problem is that giving up is the problem. Don't give up. Jesus answered temptation when he was in the desert. He answered it with what? What did he answer it with? That's right. The Word. He answered temptation with Scripture. That means the Word of God is your strongest defense. Not your willpower. It's not your personality. We all have good personalities, right? But it's the Scripture. It took me a lot of years to learn that. But I finally learned it. You see, just like a wrestler, your mind needs training. You got to train. Athletes, like my grandson, they train before matches. Wrestlers condition their body. It's a one-on-one thing. It's a team sport, but it's one-on-one. It's not your team's fault if you lose that match. You have to build up the muscles. You have to build up the moves. You have to build up the mentality that you're going to go out there and achieve the best that can be, which in his realm is a state championship. It's just the way it is. They train for it. They condition their bodies. They stretch. They practice moves. They repeat drills time and time again. I had a coach tell me one time, he says, you have to practice one move 10,000 times before it clicks. Now think about that, 10,000 times. Over your lifespan, you're probably going to practice that. But he said, you've got to do that within the first year in order for it to click, for it to be just automatic. Now, I'm talking about wrestling. I'm talking about basketball. I'm not talking about football or anything like that because we got some weird moves. I thought you'd all would laugh at that. But you see, they repeat drills over and over and over and over, the same thing over and over again, because matches are won before they begin. And that's the same here. Matches are won before they begin, right here. And spiritual battles are won the same way. Romans 12:2, please. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is and his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind must be renewed daily, not yearly, not occasionally, but daily. We all have to do it. Small decisions win big matches. Even the tiniest, may look very dramatic. We're talking about victory here. Sometimes victory looks simple. Sometimes victory looks like turning off your phone a little earlier than what you normally do. And I use that a lot because I do the same thing. I use my phone. But sometime victory may look like walking away from gossip. Sometimes victory looks like choosing prayer instead of worry. Sometimes victory may mean going to bed maybe a little earlier instead of overthinking things. But you see, heaven celebrates those victories. Even when nobody else notices, heaven celebrates those victories. 1 Kings 19:4, please. Elijah is another one who fought possibly a mind battle. On the self-wanted day's journey into the wilderness, came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. Now, Elijah was the person. Now, this is Elijah. Think about that. This is one of the people in the Bible that's a prophet. He's a miracle worker. He's a man used by God. And he had issues. He battled discouragement in his mind. It all started in his mind. See, which teaches us something important. Strong people, doesn't matter who they are, strong people still wrestle. They wrestle with things. Faithful people, they still wrestle with things. Godly people wrestle with things. You may think that most of the pastors and stuff don't wrestle with it. Yeah, they do. They're human. They wrestle with things just like, or maybe not like David. But they wrestle. David wrestled. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. David made mistakes. You've all read about his story. He made serious mistakes. But he kept coming back to God. And he kept, because his goal, and our goal should be not perfection, but the goal is to return, to be with Jesus, to return, keep coming back. I know we're going to make mistakes. I know there's going to be problems. Sometimes you're going to win a round. And sometimes you're going to lose. Sometimes you're going to resist temptation. Sometimes you may choose patience. Sometimes you forgive quickly. Patience, I just said, choose patience. Sometimes you stay calm when you normally wouldn't. Yeah, that's victory. And you need to celebrate those moments. Celebrate them. Sometimes, on the other half of that, you're going to win, but sometimes you're going to lose. You're going to lose a round. As all wrestlers do. Micah 7:8, please. Do not gloat over me and my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Though I have fallen, I will rise. I will. Losing a round is not losing the match. Got to hear me. God specializes in helping people stand back up. You're not fighting alone, folks. Ephesians 6:12 says it. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. We have the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, which means your help is spiritual too. You know, prayer helps. Anybody ever pray? Scripture helps. A lot. Worship helps. It helps me a lot. The church even helps sometimes. The church helps a bunch. But God never intended for believers to wrestle alone. He didn't want us to do it alone. Right? We got the helper, Holy Spirit. Now you see, Jesus has already won this. He's already won the major match. He's already won the major tournament. He's already won everything that can be won. Colossians 2:14 through 15, please. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. He has canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, and he nailed it to the cross. Jesus stepped into the ring for you. He carried your sins. He carried your shame. He carried your struggle. And he already won the victory. Amen? Now, I'm going to go through here and just give you real quick, and I'm going to get you out of here pretty quick. Three real-life wrestling stories with life, not actually like the video, just wrestling in life. And these are some that I've found. So the first one is called, the story number one is called The Midnight Kitchen Match. There was a man who told his pastor he was trying to get healthy. You all know where this is going. I don't know why I'm get out. And he said, Pastor, I'm eating better. I'm walking every day. I am doing great. But then he whispered, except after 10:30 at night. And he said, Pastor just kind of looked at him. He said, you see, Pastor, after 10:30 at night, the refrigerator starts calling my name. Right? We've all been there, right? Only mine's at like 9:30. And he says, now listen carefully. Pastor, after 10:30 at night, now listen carefully. The battle was not in the kitchen. The battle started in his thoughts. First came the idea, which I would get to that a lot. Then came the excuse. Oh, it wouldn't hurt, would it? Then came the footsteps. Oh, yeah. I've been doing so good. I could have a cheat day. Then came the refrigerator light. And everybody knows the refrigerator light makes food look more spiritual. That's right. That's right. That's how temptation works. It starts small. It starts quiet. But it all starts here. It all starts in the mind. But if you win that thought battle, don't look at me for that. But if you win that thought battle, you never have to fight the kitchen battle. If you win that right there. Number two. Someone once said to his pastor, they said, Pastor, I almost had an argument with someone at church. The pastor asked, almost? They said, yes. It happened entirely in my head. They said, I had already explained myself. I had already won the argument. I had already walked away all before I even got out of the car. So has anybody, now think about that. Has anybody ever had, not maybe to church people, not maybe to your friends in your church, but have you ever had those battles, those thoughts? What are they saying about me? What are they doing? Not even knowing what they're saying about you, but you start building that battle inside your head. Oh, he looked at me funny. I know what he's thinking. Oh, man. But it's a mind battle. Sometimes we fight people. Sometimes we wrestle with people who never even entered the match. They're not even knowing you're wrestling. You're out there by yourself. Sometimes we carry conversations that never happened. Sometimes we lose peace over situations that never actually took place. And that is why the Bible says, take every thought captive. Every thought. Because peace starts in the mind. All right, this is going to be my last story, I swear. Honest. A believer once shared this story. They said there was a Sunday morning they almost stayed at home. Not because they were sick, not because they were busy, but because their thoughts said, you're not good enough this week. You see, the enemy is going to try to convince you that one mistake will disqualify you. One bad decision will remove you. And one failure defines you. Don't let it do that. But the story is, they came anyway. They went to church anyway, even though they felt that way. They worshiped anyway. They prayed anyway. And that morning became the morning God encouraged them the most. Because sometimes the biggest victory is simply showing up. Right? Winning the mind battle often looks simple. It does. It often looks simple, but heaven calls it victory. I've got to do this. Chastity, would you put me something on? I don't care. Just because I felt like I need to. Everybody stand with me today, please. You don't have anything?